Sloss and Humphreys on the road.
Muggins and cream, cream and muggins, straight thuggin', living the dream.
And that's our intro.
Fucking muggles.
Tickling the clit inside your head that makes you laugh. They said it can't be done.
Are we in the same seats?
That's hack.
Oh, muggles.
Accidental rim job in the park.
Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Or am I just being cynical?
Just muggled it up on fucking Mugglepedia.
Where have you been since 9/11?
All right, since we've got guests, are you going to be a host? Are you going to actually?
I will be a host.
Are you going to host the podcast, Daniel?
And since we have foreign guests,
is the sound okay? Did you guys check?
I did a little check. Yeah, before. Yeah.
Just get that. Maybe. Oh wait, turn it over there. There
right. Okay.
Yeah. I will. I'll host the podcast if you promise to slow your fucking accent down.
I've already said because we're gonna have two guests on. Emery and Dennis is going to switch in at halftime. I've already told them that if they don't understand what I say, don't just pretend you've understood. Ask Daniel,
and he'll
translate.
What's this guy talking about?
Oh man, it is a thick and stupid accent, and it's a miracle that the audience understands you a lot of the time. But when you come off stage, you go back to your non.
I can't practice conversation. It's a gift and a curse, Emery.
What's the scummy bit of Turkey?
Scummy bit.
I think I know this.
I mean, it's so much.
Trabzon.
Well, I think anywhere east of Ankara is, you don't want to be there. Really.
No.
Yeah, and also if they heard me say that, they would actually get really angry about it.
Oh yeah. But podcasts haven't made their way out there, so.
Oh yeah, and neither has the English language.
So. Okay.
And where are you from?
I'm from here. I was born and raised in Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Yeah.
Do you like living here?
It's home, you know.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's fucking massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes on for a long time, doesn't it? Sprawling.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's the first city you ever get to know, it doesn't really feel like that. But yeah, from end to end, it takes I think two and a half hours of driving to.
Yeah,
fucking gone.
Yeah, it's a huge city.
Traffic's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
If you were to drive 2.5 hours south of Edinburgh, you're in England.
Aye, genuinely. Yeah, it's about 1.45 hours from Edinburgh to Newcastle.
Here you're just in the worst part of Istanbul.
Yeah. This episode is sponsored by Thistle Cross Cider, the best Scottish cider. They don't pay us to say that. If you want to get a 10% discount on any order of Thistle Cross Cider, you can go to thistlecrosscider.co.uk and you use the promo code ThistleSloss. That's right. It is an excellent pun. ThistleSloss10. ThistleSloss10 will get you a 10% discount to any orders. It's obviously, unfortunately, only now in the UK, but we're hoping with our world reach we'll allow this alcohol company to expand.
And I personally recommend the Whiskey Cask one.
It's incredible. It's unbelievable. It's award-winning.
We're proud to be associated.
And if and when you do buy it, please do tag us in with your order, having a couple of drinking responsibly. Mm-hmm. And as always, thank you for the support. And is there obviously there's a fucking scene in Istanbul. How many clubs, how many times a week could you get up?
At this point, I think you could find shows almost every day of the week.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, for the past 1.5-2 years, uh-huh. It's been spreading a lot. Before, maybe before the pandemic, it was 2 shows a week, that's great.
Yeah.
But now, especially in Istanbul, it's booming. And also in other major cities, clubs and groups of comedians are popping up. In Ankara, there's 2-3 clubs, I think.
Yeah. Is there any rivalry between the Istanbul comics and the Ankara comics?
Not so much between them, but they're between a couple of Istanbul clubs there.
Oh, okay. Aye.
So you've got infighting.
Oh, yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So you just have Crips and Bloods of comedy?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You can't come here wearing those colours. Yeah.
The Sharks and the Jets.
Because there's definitely little rivalries in the UK. They're not massively seriously, but up in Scotland, we absolutely look down our nose and sneer at the London comics.
Oh, yeah. You know what? The hill that they oddly choose to die on is writing a fringe show for the Edinburgh Festival in July, whereas a London comedian will start in September the year before and work on the show for a full year, and the Scottish comedians are like, ugh. posh scum entitled.
Well, it's more like, you know, there's two types of people in the world. There's those who did their homework on the bus on the way to school, mm-hmm. and there's those who did their homework at home.
Yeah.
The people who did their homework at home are fucking losers.
Yeah, no confidence.
No natural ability.
No. Like, I just feel like there's so much of me when it comes to comedy, and like, and this is a very fucking like, I think a unpopular fucking opinion, but if you can't go on stage and like just be yourself and be funny, like, I'm not suggesting you don't go on with fucking material, but like, it's you. You're the product. Uh-huh. Like, if I know comedians who are like, I need to like warm up and practice an hour before I go on stage. I'm just like, have you to practice being you.
Have you heard what Danny McLaughlin calls them?
What?
African footballers.
Wait, why?
No natural talent, but turn up to training first.
That's great, actually. That's a great joke.
That was great, because the second you said that, I was like, what racism is this about to be? Yeah.
From the least
African footballers. He's actually 43, but he looks 18.
Yeah, Russell Kane. African footballer.
He's an African footballer, absolutely.
Also, what works for me, I find, is that you're so nervous that you feel like you're gonna die right up until you get up on stage, and then you're fine.
Yeah. And I think you've just got to, like, if you do have like the natural sort of fear and the
instincts, they take over.
Just sort of.
That's a funny intrusive thought to have, isn't it? Just before you go on, your brain's like, you're gonna suck today. Yeah. And you have to go, am I fuck? No, I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, that still doesn't go away. It's not a voice I listen to, but like, there's still every time before I go on stage.
It never goes away.
I feel like it happens more if you've got friends in the audience where you're like,
people you're afraid to disappoint for real. Yeah, uh-huh. Definitely.
Not even fucking like disappoint, but for me, it's an ego thing of like, I know I'm really good at stand up and I know what I'm capable of doing. So if I've got people in who've never seen me before, and the first time they see me is me doing meh, I'm just like,
because it's not even like the fear of dying; it's the fear of not being at your best.
Yeah,
you want your friends to see you at your absolute A game, which is like, you know what? You should have that in your head for every gig, really.
Yeah, but I also like the memories come back of like all the times you like invited a girl you liked to come see you and then you just ate shit from the girl.
That happened.
I remember every single one of those times, like
how many of these times have you had?
Like, definitely all the girls you like, you never texted again because you're just so ashamed of the state she saw you in, you know.
Emre, do you think that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, that like, because the girl's in the audience, do you think that buries itself in your head?
For me, the worst times have been the times where I was fully confident that I was just gonna kill.
Oh,
I ate shit because of it. Because I was arrogant.
Sometimes when I've gone on stage too fucking arrogant, you get angry at the audience and you double down in the absolute wrong fucking way.
Yeah, the biggest mistake I think I ever did in my career was, we were taping my special and it was two different shows. One was like at 7:30 and the other was at 9. And the 7:30 show was great, but it dragged on a little too long. And it was winter, so people had to wait outside for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. So at the second show, I got up on stage and I only knew that they waited outside for a while, but I didn't know that it was in the cold and it was terrible. So I got up on stage and the first thing I said was, oh, I heard that we kept you waiting. I'm sorry, but we were just having too much fun. And they hated me. They hated me. And we used nothing from the second tape because they looked at me like this.
Sorry, I'm late for the date, darling. I was getting my dick sucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm more important than you, by the way. Oh man,
yeah, it was awful.
So how long have you been doing comedy in Turkey now?
It's just been 9 years now.
Nine years.
Started at 18.
Okay, good age.
So that's as old as the Turkish scene, right?
Yeah, pretty much. When I started out, it was like 30 people in Istanbul, just like going to venues, like going to bars, and first explaining to them what stand-up is, then explaining to them what open mics are, and then saying, "Can we do that here?"
I wonder what was that like, the first like open mics that you did, where the audience had never seen stand-up before because they didn't have options to.
Well, I guess it was both. Like, you could feel that, like, they didn't know any kind of jokes, so you know, you like the most basic stuff there was some, like a part of the audience for them, it was like the most groundbreaking stuff because they just didn't know about it. And then for a lot of others, it was just like too foreign, too strange. Like they wouldn't, because for such a long time in Turkey, there was just one huge comedian and no one else.
What was his name?
His name is Cem Yılmaz and he's still the biggest guy here. But like he was actually like for like a 20-year period, the only guy you knew who did stand-up. So it was like, he does it, that's the way it's done, and there's no other way.
And has he been supportive of the scene?
He showed up to one of our shows. He was nice.
Oh, that's cool. That must be nice for him, just because he'll feel like the creator.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be looking at his empire of like every gig every night. Like,
the Godfather. Know,
God came to town. Yeah. It was like that. It was amazing.
Well, you've done a good job, because last night when I was on stage, that was an audience of people who've seen a lot of comedy, I felt.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
those are like because like people who like know you, know your stuff, like those are people who are like well versed in like the stand-up specials in Netflix and stuff like that. So in like the last 5-6 years, like people's knowledge of stand-up just also in Turkey and around the world has really gone up.
COVID really seems to have like lit a fire under Turkish comedy.
Definitely. There was a huge comedy boom in the COVID period for like everyone's podcasts and their online content.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on the podcast today is because anyone who's listened to the podcast is aware of my growing and changing stance on like how much I believe whether cancel culture exists and to what effect it exists. Like, because you get American comedians who are like, oh, I got cancelled. And like Shane Gillis definitely lost his job on Saturday Night Live for something that he'd said several years ago and was like held up to like
But that's losing the platform.
That's losing.
Like, you could get kicked off the one show for a misdemeanor in your past. But, you know, but you're never gonna gain
a million fans in return.
Yeah, they're gonna love to see you on tour.
But it was still, man, for him it was fucking in place, and it's still mob rule. Like, it's still like, you know, it wasn't he was pressured to be fired from his fucking job because like this online mob just decided they were against it, and people being like, that's cancel culture. And yes, it is, but also, he's massive now. Fucking every other comedian I know that's been... Jimmy Carr has been cancelled a bunch of times. Very fucking successful. Yeah. Frankie Boyle's been cancelled a bunch of times. Really? Jim Jefferies?
Yeah.
I can't
remember. Look at the cancel tour of Dave Chappelle.
But I guess for like... somebody pointed out to me today that cancel culture probably doesn't exist as much for comedians near the top because it's profile building, but it definitely exists for like newer comedians who, you know, if they do a edgy joke to the wrong audience 2 years into their career.
Like we saw Alfie Brown, the ladder fell from under him as he was on such a good claim.
Yeah, you can be ostracized for that.
I think also one of the things like Shane Gillis complained the most about was like other comedians like coming out of the woodwork to like pile onto him, like being, oh, and he was never funny anyway. Yeah, he's a piece of shit, like stuff like that, trying to get like their careers ahead over him.
Yeah, lording over, like trying to just be higher status, looking down on somebody that's better than them, essentially.
But cancel culture in Turkey, it's like when you get cancelled in Turkey, the police come to your house. Like, it's like
so you actually gone to jail for jokes
to,
that
to
you've
prison,
told.
Like actual, like, fuck, yeah. Yes. First I was in holding in a, like a police station, and then they took me to the court, and the court decided I was to go to prison pending trial,
So can I ask what the joke was about? Are you allowed to?
You want to go back again?
So it's two jokes. But the one that was the most problematic for me, one of the jokes is about, there's this guy Mevlana. He's an Islamic philosopher from like the 15th century. Mm-hmm. He's really famous in Turkey and also the world around. People around the world know him as Rumi. That's his name. And he's also widely rumored to have been gay. Mm-hmm. But that's like
is that against the law in Islam?
He's a really well-respected religious figure, so people like don't fucking he's fucking not gay. You know, that's like that. So you know, I did a couple of jokes about that because I mean, like his
for the record, Jesus was gay. Just, I want to clarify that I'm not saying this guy's gay, but Jesus hung out with like 13 blokes regularly.
He's 12 homies.
And the only time he got
was
like
Wu-Tang Clan or something.
The only time
he just liked his bros.
And the only time he got laid was with a sex worker. Like all of his straight friends were like, just try it, man. Just try it. Her name's Mary. Give it a fucking go.
Mary, the beard.
Yeah.
So the jokes were like about So like his name is Rumi, so it was really easy to like make the joke like, guys, they're not gay, they're Rumis, you know. So
Lovely. And you ended up with a Rumi in prison.
In Turkey, prisons are like there's no general population, so like they put you in a cell block. It's like 30 to 50 people, and you just live with them. It's like that. So yeah, I was in a. But like,
try not to tell them that you're a comedian, otherwise they'll be like, "Go on, tell me a joke." And you're doing a set.
When I was like, I arrived at the prison, and when I was being led to the cell block that I was gonna stay at, the guard. Well, before that, like a couple of guards like cornered me, and like one of them like spat in my face. Like that was
You know what they do to comedians in prison.
Yeah, that was pretty shitty. Like they cornered me and they were like, "What the fuck did you say?" And I was
because they were also offended by the joke.
Yeah, so they were mad about it.
The prison guard had heard the joke and spat in your face.
Well, the thing is, like, so I said it's two jokes, and one of them, like, on my file, it was listed as two different crimes. So one of them was the Rumi, the gay philosopher joke. That was. I was tried under the law's name is inciting people to hatred or something like that. And another of my jokes was about Atatürk, who's the founder of the Republic.
Okay.
And his joke wasn't a bad joke. That was about like I stayed in a rehab facility for a while. And in the courtyard where all the alcoholics got to like hang out during the day, there was a huge statue of Atatürk, who is like known to have, even he admitted that he had alcohol abuse problems. Mm-hmm. So the joke was about having a huge statue of the most famous alcoholic in the country in the garden of the rehab. So then I was also tried under, because there is a whole law called insulting Atatürk. And that's written on my file, like he insulted Atatürk. So mostly it was because of that they really hate, they cornered me and they said, "What the fuck did you say about Atatürk?" and stuff like that. And because of that, because like if you only do the joke about the religious guy, the secular side of the country will come to your defense, like, "Yeah, so what? This is a secular country." But if you do a joke about both of them, then it's like, "Fuck that guy."
Oh,
you know?
Jesus.
Yeah. So
you got everybody against you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
as you should, I think.
That's the joke. Yeah.
Then I had no friends left outside of comedians.
It's like if you underline everything, you underline nothing. If like you've took the piss out of everybody, then you've took the piss out of nobody. Yeah.
But so yeah, what happened was after that, when the guards were leading me to the cell block, one of the guards pulled me aside and he said, "Don't tell people why you're here. Somebody asks why you're here, you stab the guy."
Yeah. So just give you a pen to draw like a tear under your eye.
Yeah. Just lie. That's what I said. And it was really hard to make it believable too that I would stab a guy in a fight. But that's what I said. So
what a weird bit of fucking advice. Like you've gone to jail for violating free speech and they're like, "Man, you need to get murdered on the sheet immediately."
Don't say you told the joke. Say you stabbed the guy. And it worked.
That's also a thing. Like if everybody's like, "What are you in for?" and somebody's done like aggravated burglary or assault or something, and you're like, I made fun of somebody.
When I got to prison, it was right at the beginning of COVID. Like the first time they announced the curfew, like everybody had to stay in their homes, I heard that news from the car radio of the police car with handcuffs on my head. Yeah. Like everybody go to their homes, and I was on my way to prison.
Like we want everyone to be at least 6 feet apart. Now get in this 6 foot cell with 20 other men,
four police officers. And
oh my god.
Yeah,
so then you spent 2020 in house arrest because of lockdown.
That was pretty crazy. And
how soon after you told the joke were you then arrested, and how did it come by? Did you know you were going to be arrested? Did they turn up at your door? What happened?
The joke I'd been telling, the joke about the guy being gay, I'd been telling that for like 3 years.
Okay.
But only in Istanbul, so, you know, and to live audiences. So that was never a problem for me. Even if like one or two people got offended by it, it was never anything serious. And then we uploaded it to YouTube.
Yeah.
Which is a fucking dumb move by me. But like 3 months after that, first like a summons to court came to my house. Like, "You're gonna, you need to come and like give your statement about this joke."
Did they play the YouTube video in court?
The prosecutor read a transcript of it and he butchered it. Yeah, he fucking...
It's the way you tell him.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you're not going to laugh if you tell it like that. Yeah,
pass that here. I'll do it.
But yeah,
you should have went, "You've just did the joke." Get on the dock with me.
So first the summons came to my house and I was scheduled to go give a statement about it to the police station in a week. And a day after that, The news of it came out on Twitter, like stand-up comedian who insulted Atatürk and Rumi is wanted. That's the news. And then everybody started sharing that. That blew up. And once that blew up, the next morning, just the police came to get me. They didn't even wait for me to come give my statement. And immediately it was arrested, go to prison.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's mad, because that means somebody was like in a government official's office watching a YouTube video.
Yeah, do you know
like,
who it is? It was the mayor of the town that Rumi is from.
Oh,
He made a phone call like, go get this guy, and they went and got me.
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
Like, he was actually like the, I don't know how to say it, but in the court case, he's listed as an accuser, the mayor of the town.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that would just put it into like fucking context. That would be like Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, getting you arrested
in Glasgow.
In Glasgow for calling Jesus gay and saying that Winston Churchill was a wanker.
An alcoholic.
That's why he went to jail, right? So all you fucking British comics out there talking about cancel culture, shove it up your fucking cunts.
And there's not really any like due process in Turkey. Like, so because like,
yeah, I mean, in my head, I've got like lots of like, I'm trying to not be ignorant here, but my mental image of what a Turkish prison is is like
Shantaram.
not that bad, but I do picture like, you know, it's the guards are on the outside. I just picture a lot of like sharpening knives on rocks and things. Like, what's that big? I know you're not a Sikh country, but in my head, I always picture Turks with scimitars.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I don't know why that is.
You're right.
There's an episode of Scrubs.
You speak my language already.
It's great. There's a scene with a Turkish guy called Omar, and he's wearing a Sikh turban.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's nobody in Turkey.
Yeah, so everybody just like, if they think of Turkey, they just go, yeah, Aladdin.
Yeah. What's the, well, I mean, that's an interesting thing. I want to get back to, I've got way more questions about the prison things, but just out of curiosity, what do the Turkish people feel about the English?
Oh yeah, what's our stereotypes to you?
And what stereotypes are we? Like, are we looked down upon?
I don't think so. No.
No? But when I say we, I mean British there, I'm not English.
Well, it's... I thought you were speaking to him.
No. I was born in England because my parents are very responsible, and I grew up, had like an English accent until I was 4 years old. I sounded like one of the fucking chimney sweeps from Mary
Hello,
Poppins.
Mother.
Hello, yeah, mother. Well, hello.
I guess one thing would be people wouldn't really like be aware that you wouldn't like to be referred to as English.
Oh, okay.
You know that. You know that.
But also, like, there's definitely, like, two distinct sides to Turkey where, like, one side really clings to the identity of, like, hey, we're also European, like, you know, that kind. And then the other side is definitely, like, yeah, fuck Europe. They're all fucking corrupt morals. This is...
Absolutely.
Is that a divide in the comedy industry?
Yeah, that's definitely
absolutely fucking mental for any fucking Turkish person to be like, all these European countries are corrupt as fuck. And you're like, what was that? How's your democracy?
You've just arrested one of your comedians.
Yeah, a mayor did it. I find that so...
Are your mayors the same as us, where they're just like a kind of ornate figurehead that wear like big like necklaces? Translate.
Are your mayors...
I'm sorry, guy. I'm really trying.
You're doing exceptionally well.
I'm also trying.
Look, it's his fault for daring to throw the word ornate in there for some reason.
I feel like ornate is a word that translates, yeah? Ornate?
I've heard it, but I don't know what it is.
Like a Fabergé egg.
Oh, my God.
All right, right. Okay.
Now, Fabergé egg's your language.
I know the Fabergé egg, though. Yeah, I do.
I know where I am in the world. You could probably buy a Fabergé egg at this hotel. That is ornate. It's like grandeur.
Yeah. Like our mayors, I mean, I guess I don't really know what the mayors in the UK are like, but they don't really do much, I guess.
They turn on the Christmas tree lights.
Yeah, like they're
I think they have a say, kind of, but they're not.
Yeah, they're like sort of in charge of the town, but obviously
it's like a ceremonial position. It feels.
Not a lot of power, but it sounds like your mayor actually has.
They have power, and they also like image is a huge deal to them. So they always like ride in the best BMWs and the cars and the definitely like their offices.
So self image,
Their offices all look like throne rooms.
Okay. Yeah. Always scary that. Like, I think if... I mean, obviously...
But also, I mean, like, so as far as stand-up comedians going to prison, so far I'm the only one in Turkey, but...
Would you be devastated if somebody else did?
I'm so I would hate it.
Yeah, that's my bit.
Yeah,
that's you did a bit about prison. That's my bit.
I would immediately say something to get myself thrown in the same prison as him.
Yeah. Call him new fish. Make him hold your pocket.
It's the one thing I'm clinging to is the hey, I'm the jail guy. But it's also like going to prison over a joke. That's really widespread. Or like a joke, you say something about Erdogan on Twitter. Prison, like
yeah, parts.
Couple months, like maybe 4 or 5 months ago, a 16-year-old kid, he drew a Hitler mustache on a Erdogan billboard. Prison.
Fucking hell.
16-year-old.
Jesus Christ. Because I know very much like some of the memes that exist about Turkey outside of Turkey is just like it's. I personally don't think it's that offensive, but you know, it's Erdogan with like the LGBT flag behind him, or it'll be done up like that, and that's like if you were to post that in this country, that's jail time. Yeah, which is mad because I
disapprove of that picture. I should say,
of course.
No fucking joke about Erdogan like that.
So is it generally quite a homophobic country, or is that just from the top? Is this society? Like,
it's also being pushed from the top as a policy. Like there's this effort to. Frame the LGBT community as like one group, I don't want to say terrorist group, but like a group with bad intentions who are all organized and who all intend to make everybody gay.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the gays aren't organized. That is absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you don't have like pride here. You don't. There's no pride.
Pride is so every year. Well, that's actually like I admire because every year they still the gays they do the pride walk here and in one of the biggest avenues in the country. There's the pride walk. Every year the police attack it. They pepper gas and fucking.
Holy shit! Yeah. So that's so like, they're part.
So
of
that's
like,
really an amazing, admirable thing to me. That every year they go to get beat up by the police in the name of pride.
Because they look at that as the struggle, so that the next generation
that's
don't have to struggle
the case
as much
for
as
International
the,
Women's Day. Like last night there was a they call it the feminist night walk.
Yeah.
It's women they band together and they walk to Taksim Square. And there's always police waiting for them there.
That's
the ritual now. Uh-huh. We're going to go and the police is going to pepper gas.
And surely this like just makes the police like a public enemy in the society's eyes.
Definitely. There's really like there's a lot of bootlickers, but there are also very little trust in police in this country.
Yeah.
And how do you feel like because Greece is a neighbor and a rival, right? And they've gay marriage is legal in that country now. Do you feel like they've got a like moral high ground on you now, and that you need to kind of strive towards?
I'd say so, but also like half the country would also say, "See, I told you the Greeks were horrible." And, would also be like,
"The Greeks just turned gay," and you're like, "Just." They invented it. I find that I agree with what you're saying. Like, I think that it's hard as fucking nails, right, for anyone called it fucking pride to just be putting on their makeup, tucking their cock between their legs, sticking on a fucking big feather boa, just be like, I'm off to get fucking leathered.
Like Bronson, lubed up. Have at it.
There's women going on this really important feminist march, putting on their makeup, knowing full well it's going to be streaming down their face once they're tear gassed. There's something inherently fucking hard as nails about that.
There is,
man. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've not been on many protests, but protests in the UK, I mean, some of them have gotten violent, but not like I would never go to a fucking protest if it was like the police are actually going to kick the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'd.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You
it's
fucking like, would.
What's that? Go to a protest. If women were getting kicked the shit.
Aye.
Doing the road.
Aye.
I'd fucking go and join in.
Happy International Women's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
No, be like, I'd definitely run and defend. I'd take my beating to defend the women and the gay people that were getting beat up. I'd be on that march, 100%.
Yeah, it's like for me, it was like yesterday, it was heartbreaking for me to like have to, I begged my wife to not go.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't want to see her go through that.
Yeah, you didn't want to be watching through binoculars from the top of your
And that feels terrible to like hold your wife's hand and go like, please don't go to the feminist march, baby, please.
Stop fighting for rights. Stop it. Right. I'm scared.
Right, I've asked you nicely, I put my foot down.
Baby, you have so many rights already. Come on.
How many more do you need? Come on. You are getting greedy. I've got to tell you, ladies. Come on.
So, did your wife go?
No, she listened to me, thank God. But then she felt terrible about it.
Did it get violent last night? Did it?
Actually, not as much as people expected, but it was like everywhere was barricaded so that they were like funneled into like this really small place that they had to like stay at and could go no further and stuff like that. So there's always the like hundreds of police watching their every step, like walking with them, just, you know, fucking do something, you know.
That fucking attitude, like a bunch of women just like walking through the street being like, could you treat us like people? And they're like, yeah, people were going to beat the shit out of you. Absolutely. Is that what you fucking want? Yeah. Have you seen how we treat people?
Yeah, it's like that. It's like, give me a reason, you know?
Like, this is, I just made like an assumption that all your police are men. Mm-hmm. Do you not have female police officers?
There are some.
Yeah. What do they do?
They're like, but they're like, you know the saying, Americans have like Uncle Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like that. It's like gender traitor.
Yeah. That's how
I feel about it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's terrible to see like a woman police officer putting handcuffs on a woman in a feminist march, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm fighting for the rights that help get you this fucking job. Yeah. Like, that's how.
Exactly.
Also, a similar thing for the gays, being like, hey, I'm fine for your right to wear that really gay uniform.
I've got one of them at home. Then they start hitting them with a trunch. You're like, ooh, harder.
So I guess the final question before we just take a wee break and then bring on Dennis. Uh-huh. So what's the situation for you now in terms of jail? Because it's a suspended sentence, which means if you do anything again in...
Yeah, so I got like a 3.5-year prison sentence, which was reduced to, after we appealed it, reduced to 1 year, 9 months. And in Turkey, if you get a sentence under 2 years, that gets suspended for 5 years, and in that 5 years, you're on probation. So if you get convicted of anything else, you do double the time. You do both sentences.
So now I
have to be like really, like, whenever I have a joke, I want to like put a clip of it on Instagram. I have to have lawyers read it.
Ask the mayor.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, get advice from friends. So yeah, it's tough to be on like shaky ground. Yeah.
Is this podcast a problem? Do we need to black you out?
I think as long as we keep speaking English, I'll be fine. If somebody doesn't like clip it and subtitle it.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, at this point, it's like, you know, if something's gonna happen, it's gonna happen.
You said you've got a new show to write, so. Hmm? Yeah. You're writing a new show.
Oh yeah.
So if anything bad happens, then you've got content.
Yeah, but like now it's like you've got the next two years. You can't fucking be edgy at all. You just have to be like a really straight-laced comedian. And then after 2 years, you're like, finally, he's off probation. Let me tell you one thing about Rumi.
Loves pussy.
He was an absolute cash out.
But he did like a finger up the digit from a girl.
A finger up the digit.
A finger up the digit, Daniel. That's the thing I said. A finger up the digit.
Like the Michelangelo painting. God's gay. There he is. Finger up the digit.
Fingering God's digit.
Man, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, everybody. That was fun.
Not at all. Can you tell just our listeners, give them is your special on YouTube, are there English subtitles at all?
No, there is not.
No.
I look really handsome in it. So, you know, I gained like 15 kilos since the special. So, you know, if you want to see me at my best understand anything I'm saying, it's on YouTube, my special.
Also, I do believe we've got a bunch of Turkish followers, so then they can find you and listen to what you're saying.
Daniel and Kai think I'm nice.
Yeah. And certainly not a criminal. Awesome, man.